Gary Bader Show 935. The Packers have re-signed Matt Flynn to back up Aaron Rodgers. You just rolled your eyes at that. You had better choices, didn't you? Who did you like? You had named somebody, Jason. Who did you had mentioned someone to me? Oh, you wanted McCown, but isn't he getting a starting job somewhere? Didn't you also like the idea of Sanchez? Yeah, Mark Sanchez. You would think, what did happen with Sanchez? I didn't even hear, if anything. You would think that he'd be interested in a starting job. I think if apparently Matt Flynn has realized he's not going to get a starting job in the NFL, he had his chances, and it just didn't work out. So given that, I think it makes sense to, if you're Matt Flynn, to accept the one job where you've excelled, and that's backing up Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay. So Tolzien better push him. That's the other thing. Scott Tolzien, I think, can be a decent backup. I mean, that was such a horrible situation that both guys were thrown into, and once Flynn was back in the system, he performed better. You would think when he's a regular back in the system that you would feel more comfortable about Matt Flynn as backup to Aaron Rodgers. But if there's any one thing that for which you could most criticize the Packers organization last year, it would be they took completely lightly what is a critical position, backing up what many people consider, who many people consider to be, the best quarterback in football. And they did. They took it for granted that we can put anyone in there. They went into the season thinking Seneca Wallace. Boy, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? And that was a last-minute acquisition after training camp. They really, not a lot of criticisms, but that is a valid one. The injuries, I don't know how they stopped the injuries. But clearly, I think if Matt Flynn had been in the system, they maybe win more of those games. Or if they had a better backup, look at what McCown did at Chicago. Aaron Rodgers has been proven to be pretty durable. But you had to know. Yeah, what's that kid's name from North Dakota State? The quarterback. Looking at him in the late rounds, possibly. I think a lot of teams will look at him at 6th, 7th round. Brock Jensen. Yeah. Yeah, that could be. Boy, that program's had tremendous success. The Bison, in multiple sports, by the way. They were in the NCAA basketball tournament. Just very, very good. Oh, he's got pro stature, 6'3", 223. Yeah. Doesn't say what round he's projected in. His stock is rising. So what does that mean? 5th? 6th? It wouldn't be much higher than that, would it? You think so? You think he would go in the 4th? That would be interesting. All right, enough of that. There's a story that has dominated conservative discussion and talk radio in the last week that, for whatever reason, we haven't gotten to. That is the story of rancher Cliven Bundy. This is actually from a liberal, but she highlights the story, she recaps the story pretty accurately. For 20 years, the federal government has fined Cliven Bundy for grazing his cattle on protected land. And for 20 years, Bundy has refused to pay. Last month, this dance came to an end when the Bureau of Land Management, the BLM, sent Bundy a letter informing him it intended to impound his trespass cattle that had been roaming on federal property. It closed off hundreds of thousands of acres and earlier this month moved to round up Bundy's cows. And that's when the cow pie hit the fan. Protesters challenged the BLM, and Bundy's son was arrested for refusing to disperse from the area in question. Bundy's cause caught fire on right-wing blogs egged on by Fox News and conservative outlets like the National Review, which have hailed the confiscation as a dangerous intrusion on private property rights, despite Bundy's lawbreaking. Defending his decision, the rancher told one right-wing radio host that he's ready to take drastic steps beyond refusing to pay. To that end, hundreds of people from outside Nevada, including militia armed with rifles and ammo, joined his protest, going as far as to set up camp and confront federal officials with brandishing weapons. The federal government blinked, and the BLM announced an abrupt end to its cattle roundup, hoping to avoid violence and further confrontations. Then came word yesterday, first from Harry Reid on the Bundy Ranch standoff, this ain't over. The feds are now saying the same thing. And this is from Ala Pundit at Hot Air, referring to Harry Reid. For once, he's right. John Hinderaker, who is sympathetic to Bundy, nonetheless acknowledges that he doesn't have a leg to stand on legally. Bundy's theory, and this is Bundy's theory on why he's not breaking the law, Bundy's theory that land universally recognized for the past 150 years as belonging to the federal government really belongs to Nevada because it was never properly conveyed to the U.S. is dead on arrival in court. He'll lose his appeals, and then presumably he'll go on refusing to pay grazing fees to use the land. What should the feds do then? Given the publicity the case has drawn and the fact that the judiciary's on his side, President Obama cannot look the other way at Bundy's continued defiance of the law. Oh, he's happy to do that abroad with bad actors like Putin and Assad because Ukraine and Syria aren't part of his jurisdiction. Although fans of the world policeman theory of foreign policy might disagree, he can duck those messes, sort of. He can't duck the one in Nevada, if only because letting Bundy off the hook there is bound to inspire copycat defiance elsewhere. So Reid's right. This isn't over. And then Ala Pundit asks this. My question is, how should the feds proceed once Bundy's appeals are exhausted? What could they do to enforce the court's order that wouldn't be treated as some sort of provocation by Bundy's supporters? Seize his cattle that are on federal land, let the cattle graze there, but seize some of his assets to make him pay the grazing fees? If they went the latter route, ranchers would then have a liability right to use federal land for their own purposes, which would interfere with the government's plan for land use. The latest from Fox News on this. Tensions simmered Tuesday in the standoff between federal land managers and a Nevada rancher, but the feds are being coy about how far they'll go to pursue Clive and Bundy as both sides regroup for their next move. Federal land managers backed down in a weekend standoff, you know all of that, and then Harry Reid said it's not over. But whether the feds will keep plugging away with a court challenge or go further is unclear. One question is whether there will be any repercussions for armed protesters. Asked repeatedly by FoxNews.com whether the standoff might lead to criminal investigation into possible threats against federal officials, administration officials wouldn't say. Asked whether BLM planned to ask for an investigation, a BLM spokesman said the gather is over and referred to prior statements put out over the weekend. The gather refers to the roundup of 900 cattle, hundreds of which belong to Bundy. All right, so they say it's not over. He owes $1.1 million in unpaid grazing. He says no, because it's not really federal land. That's not going to hold up in court. He has become something of a libertarian conservative hero. Here's my position on this. He's breaking the law. You can agree or disagree with the law, and I haven't researched this enough. It doesn't appear that his position has a leg to stand on. That it is federal land, and therefore he should pay grazing fees. The feds have put up with this for 20 years. Then they started to do something about it. That's the first problem. After 20 years, how can you start enforcing something? I mean, they did, but they just didn't do anything firmly. I have said on the show repeatedly, regardless of where it happens, I am not going to support disregard for the law, whether it comes from jury nullification, whether it comes from the President of the United States, or a cattle rancher in Nevada. That said, it's pretty hard for me to support throwing the book at this guy or cracking down on this guy when the president is using the very same tactic as political policy. The president said, we're not going to enforce DOMA before DOMA was struck down. People have forgotten that. We're not going to enforce DOMA because it's wrong. If the president of the United States can do it, why can't a rancher in Nevada do it? Well, because that leads to anarchy. So, while I don't agree with what Bundy is doing here, I don't necessarily feel that the protesters, the armed protesters, should be charged. I don't know what to do with Bundy. 5 years ago, the answer would have been easy. He's wrong. Go ahead, take his cattle. Assess his property. He's wrong. But the landscape has changed in 5 years. So I don't know what the government, I don't know what I support the government doing here. I don't support Bundy breaking the law. But the president does it with immunity and impunity. So how can I then say, but the law is the law? This is where we've gotten in 2014, when you have a lawless president who doesn't follow the laws, changes a law, his law, at a whim to make it fit his needs. That's all Cliven Bundy's doing. He's trying to contort the law to say it works for him. I don't support that. And again, a few years ago, this would have been easy for me. I don't think the government should let him get away with this, but why should he face repercussions when this is a standard set by the president of the United States to ignore laws you don't like? This is exactly what I was warning you lefties about. This is where this leads. Mike on the road. Mike, how are you on the Jerry Bader Show?
Hi. I heard this topic on another show yesterday, and I was hoping that I could get in, but I agree with you, but I think it's even further. I think these guys have so polarized this country that it's us against them so much that this things like this are starting to become an issue. And, I mean, it's almost like they're trying to cause a spark or something.
Okay, you're absolutely right. Those protests popped up because, you know what? People have become so distrustful of the government and so tired of the overbearing nature of the current administration that they are quick to defend someone like Cliven Bundy, even if he's not on the right side of the law. You're right.
Yeah, they think that this government, and they probably have a pretty good point, that they're out to get us. They spy on us.
That
they do not trust us. Like us having guns. They do not like us clinging to our guns and religion. They basically don't like us. And it's getting to be so divided.
Well, and that's why I don't know, and I could be wrong on this, Mike, and there's no way of knowing. Thanks a lot for the call. I don't know if 5-6 years ago you would have seen the defense of Bundy the way you have. I don't know. But yeah, when the government becomes heavy-handed this way, even if the person is on the wrong side of the law who's involved, as Bundy is, he's on the wrong side of the law here. But people don't care anymore because the administration doesn't care anymore. So why should a rancher in Nevada or his defenders care? John in Menasha. John, go ahead.
Jerry, where in the Constitution does it say that the feds own that land?
Okay, John, not everything's in the Constitution.
Okay, what bureaucracy?
I don't know. I'm not going to argue the legal because I don't know. What I'm being told is he doesn't have a
write-up.
John,
that you should read, and it's
Let's say that he loses all his appeals, which I guarantee he's going to. Let's say, even though you think he's right, he loses every appeal. Then what should happen?
Does that still make it right?
Well, it makes it the law.
Yeah, but does it make it right?
John, it makes it the law.
Does it make it right, though, Jerry?
John, it's the law. There are lots. I think Roe v. Wade is wrong. I can't do anything about it. You don't get to decide what's right and wrong. You have to follow the law. And I understand it's tempting not to, because President Obama doesn't. That's why I'm not coming down harder on Bundy than I otherwise would. Thanks a lot for the call. To Dave and Krivitz. Dave, go ahead.
Good morning, Jerry. Thank you for taking my call. The thing that kind of makes me a little nervous about this whole situation, and kind of relates to situations around here, is I'm watching Fox News and some of these other shows that show some of these militia members or whoever they may be pointing their weapons at law enforcement personnel.
Yeah.
And we all know what happens then. So we're if you look at it, we're kind of lucky that this really didn't escalate further. I mean, when you start having this group pointing weapons at that group and so on and so forth, it could get bad real quick.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of scary.
There are people who think that we were about a step away from a Waco or something like that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. A friend's got a really good take on this. If Mr. Bundy feels the law is wrong, he must be willing to pay the penalty for his actions. I have said this on the air repeatedly. MLK broke the law and paid the price by going to jail. Mr. Bundy's bringing attention to what he feels is an unjust law. He'll have to pay the price, and so must we all. As I've said, I support civil disobedience if you're prepared to accept the consequences with it. Gary in Pulaski. Gary, go ahead.
Jerry, what we're seeing in front of us is the blossoming of a nation that's destroyed. This is supposed to be a Republican nation, as you said, governed by laws. But so many think that they can do their own thing and turn it into a democracy, which I'm talking purist sense of the
yes.
terms now, but the right way, so mob rules and law doesn't matter. That's where we're at, and we are getting mentored right from the White House.
That's the problem, is it's very hard for me to be all that critical of a Nevada rancher doing exactly what the President of the United States does.
Exactly, Jerry.
Thanks a lot for the call. Lois posted on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Bader page, slavery was the law too. Yes, and those who broke it faced the consequences, but they bravely faced those consequences. What you can't do is have Clive and Bundy break the law and then say he shouldn't face any consequences in challenging an unjust law. Being jailed is one of the things that led to Martin Luther King Jr.'s success. It's 9:53. Jim in Green Bay, hang on.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.